Welcome to another Carlin Lade Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, today we have a repeat guest, Sonny Moy.
That's wonderful to speak to Sonny again. It's been a while too.
Yeah. So, Sonny, how you been? I mean, recently we've had Sorry Day. How do you feel about Sorry Day?
Yeah, Sorry Day is a very important day for me, boys. Basically because of the recognition of what occurred in our history, the removal of children, and a lot of the other incidents that happened over the years, you know, this lack of recognition of Aboriginal people in Australia, not using the knowledge that we have had, especially if you go back just a little bit within the last couple of months, the bushfires. There's a lot of knowledge within Indigenous people that they could have utilised in that, but they wouldn't, for some reason unknown.
Sonny, when Sorry Day happened, when Kevin Rudd apologised to the Aboriginal people of Australia, what impact did that have for the Aboriginal people?
Well, I think it's, to me, like I accepted that apology because it's taken a long time for the federal government to recognise it. You know, somewhere on the line they were involved in a lot of the circumstances. I know the state government did the apology, did the sorry business a long time ago. I think it was Premier Brown, I think. I'm not too sure on that, but I believe he did the sorry business or apologised to us some time ago in South Australia. But, it means a lot in a lot of ways because it's a recognition of the wrongs done. But, it doesn't actually affect the individual people because, in the end, if you've been through this process and you've come out pretty well at the other end, you're not going to suffer much, but the point is there are a lot of groups of families linked to the stuff at a lot of, without any sort of apology from anyone.
Do you think, from your perspective, like obviously it's Reconciliation Week this week, and you know all of us guys at schools are doing stuff for Reconciliation Week, giving information to the kids and looking at the whole concept. Do you think that it's made a difference to white Australians?
I'm hoping it does, Sean. Basically, the problem with that is that unless incidents happen to you or your immediate family, you've got no way of reconciling or understanding the implications of what it means. Unless it's happened, unless you directly know individuals or people that have been affected, it then comes back to the communities that still haven't got any idea of exactly what it's all about. It needs a lot of education. And the main thing that I appreciate is that the schools, the education department are doing the right thing. They're teaching the next generation of children the facts and the truth. The interesting thing is, if you look at their history, and I did remember that when I was invited to address the class, as it were, I asked the question about Maralinga, and there's a documentary about it in the ABC on a Sunday. And that is, the true history has to be taught, basically, because it's, in the end, it hurts people, but the fact that it's going to come out and we all get together and move on with our lives.
We really appreciated that you did come and speak to our class last year, Sonny, and I know some of the kids this year actually have been talking about it recently. So you had a bit of an impact on many of our students last year.
Yes, you know, I would like to address the senior class, actually. The children are going to be leaving school, moving on to work and moving on to other careers throughout their lives, just to get some idea of what they understand, their understanding of Aboriginal people and the history of our land and where we came from. It would be a great opportunity to speak to people on that.
Now, of course, Sonny, you've been from the Stolen Generation, and you've had a very interesting life with your league footy at Central District and your police officer work, et cetera, et cetera. Just, you're having your biography written at the moment. I believe it's almost finished. So what is it? What is your story, mate, in a nutshell, and what does it mean to you to have it told in your biography?
Well, really, in a nutshell, I would just like to let people know how you can work your way through what happened to me. I was taken from my family. I was removed from what I call a safe environment to an environment that I didn't understand. I had no idea. There were huge language barriers, huge cultural barriers of people that spoke differently to what I knew. And not only that, the mental health issues. You know, I'm very fortunate I don't believe I suffer mental health, but I've understood and I've seen a lot of this issue go through. And when you look at it in my policing days, I came across people with a huge mental health issues, and a very little misunderstanding or understanding of mental health issues going back in time. You know, people are now switched on, more aware, but we've got a lot to learn. But in that sense, there's a lot that I knew nothing about the outside world. But the fact is that, you know, to me, is that no one's got the right to remove you from your family or to ruin a serious health or serious danger of being hurt. So I don't come to understand why it's still a policy of government in the time.
Yeah, and of course, when you were stolen from your family, you didn't understand a word of English, so you had those difficulties. And when you look further and the fact that you played league football, you become a coach, you were the first Aboriginal to coach any SNFL team at any level to a premiership with Central's under-17s. And then you were supervisor when you were working for the PMG, and of course, your police work. You took leadership roles throughout your life, and that's in itself is an amazing story. Tell us a little bit about how you sort of transformed from someone that couldn't even speak a word of English to someone that took a leadership role in society.
Yeah, a good question, Rob. That's one of the most, probably the $60 billion question. It's very difficult. But as a young man, you have survival skills, I suppose, is the way you can put it. You know, either you're going to pass on, or you survive and you work your way through it, and you learn to understand the system and you work with it, and you don't lose your history of where you came from, but what you do is you learn from the next generation of the process in life to other people. And I believe that that's what I had to do, to survive, to live, because I was removed from the environment I understood to a totally alien environment, something different. I didn't understand it existed there, but I didn't know anything about it as a young kid growing up in the territory. And from that point onwards, I made myself a mission. I will survive and I'll move on and I'll do things. But I'm not one of those people that are, you know, hold any grudges against anybody. I just want to make sure that I can do something that's right and help other people through life.
Sonny, sport for you must have been a very important part of obviously growing up and linking into your own culture, but also, to put it bluntly, like white Australian culture. Do you feel like, and a lot of us would obviously follow AFL football, and that might be often how we associate with Indigenous people, Aboriginal people. How important is that link of sport between understanding our different cultures?
Oh, sure. I think sport is one of the greatest important, elements in our society, and both, you know, the white Australia and the Aboriginal Australia, because it's our way of showing our skills and our knowledge and our I suppose, ability to adapt to different sports or different standards of exercise that you come across. Even athletics like sprints, looking at people like Kathy Freeman, she was a great sprinter, but, you know, if you go back in time, I was telling you, she got some time ago, a gentleman called, he's now deceased, in the Yarranda language, you call Kulinjo, passed on, his name shouldn't be mentioned, but in this case, well, his name was Wally MacArthur. And I didn't know much about Wally, but he was at St. Francis House, where I was brought to from Central Australia. But Wally was one of the fastest sprinters of his time, but he couldn't represent Australia because he was Aboriginal, he was not a citizen of this land. And, you know, they're those wrongs and they're right. The issue is, sports has always been part of everybody's culture, really, in the sense in Australia, because we're all sports orientated. We love our football, we love our cricket, tennis, but there are other great games. The Scots invented one called golf, and I enjoy playing golf. But the fact is that football has always been my key, you know, because that's when I go back in my time as I was growing up. You only play footy, or you can play netball, or you did, you know, nothing. You did walking or something like that. But that just 50s, 60s era was very, very difficult. And for Aboriginal people, it was difficult because when I was growing up through Adelaide, I think I only came across two or three Aboriginal people. Because at the time, people were confined to these what they called missions. And it was illegal for the Aboriginal people to be wandering around all over the place. And there are certain laws that covered that in South Australia. I think it was Australia-wide. There was locked away in these mission, which was basically prison, if you, you know, put it in that context.
So in that context of, especially in the 60s when you were playing football at Central Districts, how did the other players, if they weren't very, I mean, you've said there aren't many Aboriginal people around, as though people had less contact with Aboriginal people and that probably had less, a much less understanding of Indigenous culture at the time. Did they understand your story? How did that work for you and your teammates?
I don't think the players that I played with, you know, outside of about one or two, knew that I was taken from my family. A lot of them thought that I grew up, I was a South Australian kid, that I grew up in Gawler. My family was in Gawler. And they didn't know. And, you know, probably looking at history, you know, there's been no actual facts about why children were removed ever been taught to anybody through that generation of people. They were all same as Lucy today, still coming to grips with actually what happened. Because the government did things without even advising the community what they were doing. They did it because they said they could, or they could do it. And I think the players, they didn't know, but I was treated okay. Opposition people were treated you with a lot of disrespect, but when you look at it, that's part of the game plan, I suppose, you know, to upset the other opposition. But, you know, I've learned to just ignore that and just move on. So all I've done is myself, if somebody was calling in anger and yelling at me about who I was or what I was, it just made me more determined to play better.
Now, Sonny, obviously, Aboriginals have come to the fore in sport a lot over the last 20, 30 years. You know, Cathy Freeman at the Olympics with her sprinting and many, many wonderful footballers and Barty in tennis, etc. But when you were playing league football, you had a few Aboriginals that really made a name for themselves. Yvonne Goolagong won Wimbledon in 71. Lionel Rose, the boxer. Polly Farmer, one of your heroes, played for Geelong in the football. How important were those early Aboriginal sports people for laying the foundation for Aboriginals of the future?
I would put that as one of the most important factors because it gives us some measure of who to look up to and who we can measure our abilities with. You know, when you go back through time, and like you said, Polly Farmer or Graham Farmer was one of the heroes, my heroes, and that's why I followed Geelong. I don't follow them nowadays, but they've gone to a different system. But, you know, those players meant a lot. And people like Lionel Rose because we were the oddities. You know, there wasn't too many that were in the limelight or up at the higher level of sport. But, you know, what they did pretty well. And, but it goes back to the grassroots. There were a lot of Aboriginal footballers. Like, I can recall an old warrior, Chiefy Warrior, playing in the North Eastern Association when I was a kid playing in Gawler District League. And Chiefy was a brilliant footballer. He's won about 3 or 4 male medals in the country.
Is that Eugene Warrior?
Pardon?
Eugene Warrior?
Well, he's related to Eugene. Chiefy now, he would have become a common day or he passed on. But he was a lot older gentleman, but he was a brilliant footballer in the North East, and I'm not too sure he played for up there, probably some of the Clare clubs or Barrow or one of those, but he was a brilliant footballer. You know, those sort of players, that's right throughout the community. You know, every little town, if you go to Port Lincoln, if you go to Mallee Park, one of my Aboriginal football teams, they got some brilliant footballers through their time. And if you look at it, look at the offspring, you've got, you know, like the Bergeron boys, they all come from Mallee Park. Or even Eddie Betts. Eddie's grandfather was a brilliant footballer. So, you know, it goes back in time. You know, these are people that are unrecognised, but they're valued in their communities.
Sonny, to finish on a lighter note, how's your golf going?
Last week, Sean, wasn't that good, but it doesn't matter. It's on the day basis. No, I enjoy it. It's a good exercise to walk around about 20k. So we play. It's one of the most social distancing games anywhere in the world. So, you know, there's no chance of picking up a virus because you walk off in different directions looking for a golf ball. So we're pretty safe.
Well, I know the feeling because if I play golf, I rarely hit the fairway. So I spend a lot of time in the rough.
fairways. What's that? No, I'm not too bad, mate. I hit it within reach of the fairways.
No, I hear you're pretty good.
It's a great game.
All right, Sonny, look, thank you very much for talking to us. We'll have you on again when the book gets launched in a few months, whenever sort of the social distancing allows it to be launched. So ends another Carlin Lowe Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.